Welcome to the Marketing Study Lab podcast with me, Peter Sumpton, the Lego master of marketing and marketing consultant, providing you with the building blocks you need to be a successful marketer. This intro lasts about 1 minute, so feel free to skip forward if you've heard all this before. I seriously won't be offended. If you're new to the show, we chat to amazing people to give you practical advice you can implement right now that will make you and your marketing truly awesome. The conversations we have will lead you to the actionable marketing knowledge you've been craving, and now you've found it, so you can relax and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks to all those that have left a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It's the best way to support what I'm trying to do here. If you have a burning marketing question, you can catch me on LinkedIn. I know I'm supposed to say the links are in the show notes, but let's face it, you've got better things to do than try and find those pesky show notes right now. Enough of the show intro. Let's get on with introducing our guest. Well, this is part 5 of 6. We've got 2 more episodes left in Strategic Marketing Theories Explained. Thank you so much for joining me for the first 4. Let's crack on with this one and tell you what I'm doing over these next 6 weeks. Because it's a slightly different feel to the podcast. It's just going to be me, myself, and I as I chat through 6 of the most important and influential theories within strategic marketing. This 6-part series is actually the 2nd season in reviewing, explaining, and demonstrating how to use these powerful marketing tools. But it's the first time I've shared it on the podcast. Why am I doing this? Well, I've partnered up with Professional Academy, intro to them later, to bring all those aspiring marketers 6 explainer live episodes, which you can catch on a Thursday, by the way, at 12:30 GMT PM, which will help you become a better all-round marketer from auditing right through to controls and measurement. And this week, we take a look at Ansoff's Matrix. Let's get on with what we're talking about today, which is Ansoff's Matrix. We're finally going strategic today. Very, very detailed strategic model. This whole series, this 2nd series, which we're using to explain strategic elements of marketing, the models, how you use them, how you apply them, the models that will make you a better marketer. We finally, on the 5th out of 6 episodes, come to a very defined strategic model. I'll come on to that a little bit later on. First of all, I just want to say thank you so, so much to Professional Academy for giving me this platform, allowing me to help everybody watching or everybody that's watching on the record or listening on the podcast to know and understand and build and develop your knowledge to make you become a better all-round marketer. I feel we could all do with a little bit of that within our industry. Professional Academy are a strategic partner of the CIM, Chartered Institute of Marketing, and a globally recognized provider of marketing training and qualifications, and also of marketing apprenticeships, of which they are doing a fundamentally wonderful job at those apprenticeships. Kind of have to say that because of this next bit. This is the introduction to myself. My name is Peter Sumpton. For those that have just joined us, first and foremost, hello, I'm the Lego Master of Marketing. What the heck does that mean? Well, it means that as a consultant, I come into your business, I look at all these marketing bricks and blocks that aren't making much sense, start piecing them together, start integrating everything together and make some sense of it and make it fun, understandable, unique, focused on your customer first and foremost, and something that's going to work for you as a business. I've been tutoring for around about 10 years now, primarily with Professional Academy, and I'm so proud to say that. Great relationship, fantastic company. And I'm currently helping them with CIM qualifications and those wonderful apprenticeships I was speaking about. As I mentioned earlier, I do everything from professional qualifications to consultancy work. So let's get on to this series. What's it all about? Well, this series is all about looking at strategic models within marketing to make you a better all-around marketer. At this point, you usually go onto my soapbox and talk about a good marketer and a bad marketer, good all-round marketer, bad all-round marketer. I'm not going to do that today. But what I will say is that what we've done is we've started with analysis and auditing through this series, and we're going right through to control and measurement. And this one today is the pinnacle of strategic marketing, top level, and we'll get onto that in a moment. Again, just highlight if you've got any questions, put them in the comments. I will answer any questions at the end of this rather than interrupting the flow. I'll answer any questions at the very end. But today, we're going to look at ANSOS matrix, what it is, and why it's fundamentally important. So first of all, what is ANSOS matrix? Well, ANSOS matrix was first published in 1957 in the Harvard Business Review. It was created by Igor Ansoff, hence the name, and it covers four major growth strategies. Now, depending on which is the best strategic fit in relation to products and services, and also the markets your company is involved in, will depend what strategic direction Ansoff's matrix points you in. Some are risky, some are not. What I want to do today is to go into each one of these strategic directions. But first of all, let's have a look at the model and put it into some context, shall we? Okay. So as you can see on the screen, there are four growth strategies within ANSOS matrix. You've got market penetration, product development, and diversification. As we go to the bottom right, the further away from the top left, the riskier these strategies become. The way ANSOS matrix works is it looks at your current products and services, whether they're existing or new, and also your current markets or the markets that you are looking to move into and whether they're existing or whether they're new. So what I want to do now is look at each one more specifically, because it's all well and good highlighting these factors and saying this is ANSOS matrix and these are the strategic directions. But what the heck do we mean by market penetration? What is diversification? How can it be implemented? What I'll try and do is relate this to one of my favorite topics, which is desserts, but also try and give you examples, real life examples of where companies have used these strategies. And if you break down any company, you can use multiple strategies depending on the size of your organization and the length and breadth of your products and services you offer. But today, what we'll do, we'll just look at specific elements within organizations that have used certain parts of this model to great success. Okay, so the first one we're going to look at is probably the one that's used the most often, and that's market penetration. Why is it used most often? Because it's looking at your existing products within existing markets. So you're not necessarily moving the needle. Hate that phrase. You're not necessarily changing things massively. You just might have more of a focus. So this is about focus on increasing sales, for example, of existing products into existing markets in a way. Why is there a pie on your screen, you might ask? Well, market penetration is all about making your share of that pie bigger. So what do we mean by this? So what we're talking about here is market share. We're talking about product usage. We're talking about frequency of use of particular products. We're talking about a new application for a current product in an existing market that might not have been thought about. So when I say existing products, it doesn't mean doing the same thing for the same people over and over again. It could be an expansion that's focused on the same market but new people. It could be focusing on your current clients but highlighting the fact that products could be used in a different application, which means repeat purchases or more frequent repeat purchases. So what might be an example of this? Well, a really, really good example that you might not think of is Under Armour. They've demonstrated using market penetration really, really successfully. So much so, they are the number two athletic wear provider in the US at this moment.
They've surpassed Adidas even. And what they've done, they've had a focus on footwear, clothing, and accessories. But this part is crucial. So we're not just talking about promoting these things. This goes deeper than that. If you think back to when we discussed the marketing mix in a previous episode, of which all marketers should be focused on each seven elements of this marketing mix, what Under Armour did, they focused largely on their distribution network and the consistency of their product, quality of their product. And that is using place and using product. Another two P's in the marketing mix alongside promotion. And that just shows that as marketers, we need to be focused on more than just our promotional elements. Okay, so just as a side note, just on LinkedIn, I'm getting there's an echo. Thanks, Joe. I think that echo is something to do with LinkedIn because I've seen lives as well. And that seems to be an echo due to LinkedIn, not this feed. Try going onto YouTube. That might work a little bit better. And yet James says, Ansos Matrix, they still teach this in accountancy. Weirdly enough, James, Igor was a financier. He has a financial background, and that's where it came from. So again, looking at the seven Ps, think about pricing as well. That is one of the elements that you need to work with your financial department alongside if you're a marketer. Anyway, sorry, side note, but thank you so much for those comments. Absolutely love them. Brilliant. Okay, so back to Ansos Matrix. The next element that we can focus on here is product development. Now, this focuses on introducing new products to an existing marketplace. So it's usually companies that have a decent market share and a customer base already, and that customer base might be looking to look for new and innovative products, and it's a great chance for companies to look for new product development. There's a few elements where we could use this. Improved product, for example, enhancing an already product, product line extensions, so additional cross-selling, upselling with new products, and then new products to the same market. So think about that. We're focusing on our existing market. We've probably got a CRM in the background, which gives us a great start to push, promote these new products. But this strategy is all about product development. Again, one of the other P's, product. Don't forget that. It's not about promoting a new product in its entirety. It's about the pricing structure for a new product. It's about this new product development and having systems in place that allow you to generate strategic direction for that new product development. And as marketers, we need to be part of that product development. We need to be part of it at the start. Get our customers involved. We are the voice of the customer. And our new product development should be focused on solving customers' problems. So why wouldn't we be there at the start? Anyway, a really good example of this is Nissan and Nissan Leaf, the car. Why is this a good example? Well, Nissan gave its full focus to becoming the first to develop an electric car. And I remember this back in 2008 when it came out, and it was like, I'm not the persona that Nissan go for really with their car and Nissan Leaf being that car, and thinking, I bet that's slow and ineffective, and it might have been, I don't know. But they're still a market leader in electric cars today because they have put their focus on product development and highlighting that through what they do externally as well. Okay, so on to the third part of Ansos Matrix, and this is market development. So what do we mean by market development? Well, this is taking our existing products and looking at new markets or new areas we might go into. What do we mean by this? So this could be because a market is reaching saturation, it's stagnating a little bit, or even declining. Or it could be because our current products serve no purpose, or they serve no purpose to our current market, but we know existing markets they will serve a purpose. So the a really good cake example, or pie example, should I say, there is taking it from a store, a physical store, to delivery. Straight away, you've enhanced your marketplace geographically. And that's one of the reasons we might do market development. That could be a strategic direction, geographical expansion. It could just be to target new segments. It could be to expand a market for existing products. Again, think geographically, think age ranges, think back to customer personas and building a customer persona, which we spoke about on the last episode. It could be slightly tweaking this persona. And then you've got a new market to move into with your current product. So it's not about product development as such. It's more about looking at new markets. So that is very much place driven and could be process driven if it's a service. What's an example of this? What companies do this very, very well? If we go back to our athletic wear example, companies like Adidas, Nike, Reebok, they have entered international markets for expansion, and they've brought athletic wear into the mainstream within these different countries. Because, for example, potentially in the UK or in the US, they're reaching saturation point, and that's why Under Armour have come into that market and taken a bigger piece of the pie. So the final element of Ansoss Matrix is the riskier of the four. And this is a focus on diversification. So we're looking at new products, and we're also looking at new markets. So how can we link this to pies? Well, we don't. We switch it up. We look at cakes instead. We look at cakes. We look at cheesecakes. We look at scones. We look at desserts, any kind of desserts. If you watch the Great British Bake Off, you could probably reel off a lot of bizarre desserts right now. I think they're kind of running out of material. They need to go back to basics, really, to be fair. I mean, Japanese week, what's all that about? Anyway, that's not for here. Back to differentiation and Ansoss Matrix. So we're focusing on entering a new market with the introduction of new products. And in this cake example, in this dessert example, we're doing cakes and not pies. Why is this a riskier strategy for a strategic direction? Well, we're changing two factors here, not one. Again, why would we do this? It could be because we've got a shrinking market or even a declining market, or the company, your organization, might not even have a viable offering out anymore. So we really have to switch it up and change it up. A really, really good example, and one you might not know, goes back through time. And this is Samsung. So if I said the word Samsung to you, what does it mean? So you're probably thinking smartphones, TVs, and electronics. Well, Samsung started as a trading company, and they expanded into insurance and securities, and finally retail, as we probably know and love them today. Now, more specifically in retail, it's the electronics division that's got the most focus. And that electronic division started with one product, a black and white telly. For the younger people in the audience, yes, we had black and white TVs. That is a bit crazy to think of now. Anyway, technology advances, imagine. Not only that, but they entered, like I said at the start, they entered the telecom market in the 1980s with switchboards, and then into telephones and fax machines. Again, for the younger people in the audience, fax machines were like sending a text message on paper. Read up about them. That's not for here. And finally, mobile phones and smartphones. Diversification. Throughout the ages, Samsung have done this very, very well. So let's just recap on Ansoss Matrix, why it's important, and finalize with a bit of a thank you, shall we? Why not? Why is it important? It's important because it provides a company with a focus on a strategic direction. And what this allows you to do, quite simply, is get buy-in internally, because you're focusing top level on one specific strategic direction. It's simple to use. It uses two elements, market and product and service, new and existing. And what it allows you to do is review a number of strategic directions under these two factors. Highlights the risk or the reduction in risk, depending on which factor you decide to go with. But as with always, and I can't emphasize this enough, this model shouldn't be used in isolation. Like many models, it has its limits. It doesn't factor things into consideration such as competition, costing, or the external environment and analyzing what is going on out of your control to any great extent. But these factors can be analyzed using different models, and we've seen it throughout the series, and we'll see it next week as well. And this can give you a better understanding before discussing your strategic direction. So let's recap before we say goodnight. ANSOS Matrix, use it as a top-level model to discuss top-level strategic directions, detailed underneath. If you do your due diligence, your marketing audit, you look at the current situation and apply limitations, positives, negatives, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats within this matrix, or before you even apply it, it will be a lot better to understand where you're going. Be much easier, should I say. That's better English, isn't it? So whether you're focusing on taking a bigger piece of the pie, creating a new pie, or even dabbling in cakes instead of pies, ANSOS Matrix is an excellent strategic model to do this with. And that is how you utilize ANSOS Matrix. Hopefully you know and understand a bit more about the factors it includes, its limitations, and how you use each individual component: market penetration, market development, product development, and finally diversification. So to just close this week, just to say thank you so, so much for joining me. As always, an absolute pleasure to be your guide through these models. Next week is the final one, tear in the eye. It's the final one, and we're talking about the balanced scorecard. Just to let you know, the whole series can be found on the Professional Academy YouTube site. And there's also, or there should be, a recording on my own YouTube site. There's also a blog on the Professional Academy website that's attributed to this series. And you can find all of this series and the past series on that blog. So finally, from Professional Academy and myself, as always, happy marketing. Okay. I'll take any questions we might have. Have we got any questions? Shall we take a look to see if we've got any? Why don't we do that? And Pete, you're in charge here, so you can look at the questions. Let's take a look. Right, okay, cool. So we have got... okay, we've got one from... Why couldn't this just be Alex? We've got one from Alessandro. I hopefully said your name correctly there. Let's hope I have done. Apologies if I haven't. So this is the only question, which will make this short and sweet, but absolutely fine. No problem. Are there any other strategic models you could use? Yes, absolutely. So because this is, we're looking at marketing strategy and the models that you can implement, and we've gone from the marketing audit to measurement and control with the balance scorecard next week. If we focus specifically on strategic models, you've got ANSOS Matrix, but you've got things like we were speaking about last week, segmentation, targeting, and positioning. Hugely important to have a target market so you know strategically where you're focused, a position within the market, a strategic position. But also there's things like Porter's generic strategies. Now, I'm not going to go through all Porter's, but that gives you a different viewpoint on top level strategic direction you could go into, which focus on the market, whether it's broad or narrow, and again, whether your costs and what you're attributing to your costs as well. So take a look at Porter's generic strategies, STP, segmentation, targeting, positioning. And finally, elements like RACE, which is more of a digital model, but that could be used for a strategic direction dependent on what part of the customer journey you want to focus on, or you feel needs a better strategic approach, or it could be in its entirety. But what RACE does, allows you to segment each part of your customer journey and focus different models, tools, techniques, channels, comms, everything on each individual component and get people moving through that, hate the word funnel, but moving through that funnel to the point of conversion. So hopefully that's answered your question, Alessandro. So I'm not getting any other questions here, which is absolutely fine, no problem. Hopefully I've given you some value today. You know and understand how to utilize Ansos Matrix. So once again, finally, from Professional Academy and myself, I'll see you next week. We'll be looking at the balance scorecard. Happy marketing.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Marketing Study Lab. It really means the world that you're listening to this out there. And hopefully I've provided you some value. If you're looking to know more about what Marketing Study Lab does and is about, go to marketingstudylab.co.uk or get in touch with me personally, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or feel free to email me at peter@marketingstudylab.co.uk. Happy marketing.